Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app, Star One Credit Union, in your best interest. Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm Lily Jamali. When it comes to extending the pandemic-related eviction moratorium, two local governments aren't waiting for legislators in Sacramento to act. The LA County Board of Supervisors unanimously passed a measure yesterday to extend the local eviction moratorium through September 30th. Here's Supervisor Sheila Kuhl.
We've agreed from the beginning that no one should be made homeless by this crisis if there's a way that we can help. And this board has taken some pretty bold action over the past 15 months to adopt, expand, and extend protections to protect our most vulnerable residents.
Supervisors have vowed to help both renters and landlords in LA County with rental relief since the state's financial assistance program has struggled in its initial rollout. Meanwhile, in San Francisco, the Board of Supervisors there has voted to extend its city eviction moratorium through the end of the year. The statewide moratorium expires at the end of this month, although Governor Gavin Newsom has signaled that he'd like to extend it beyond then. The LA Police Commission has requested the LAPD report back to it on the possibility of a COVID-19 vaccination mandate for its officers. This comes after an LA Times report found that only about half of the department has received at least one shot of the COVID-19 vaccine. One commissioner said the low rate of vaccination among officers, combined with the fact that not all of them wear masks while on duty, could endanger the safety of the public. LAPD Chief Michael Moore told the police commission that he's been in touch with the city attorney's office and has been told that mandating that officers get vaccinated is, quote, beyond our reach at this point legally. The city attorney's office says any advice it's given to Moore is confidential. For years, the Justice Department has defended the Trump administration's decision to end humanitarian protections for an estimated 55,000 immigrants living here in California. And it's continued under President Joe Biden, who as a candidate pledged to protect what's called temporary protected status. But as KQED's Farida Javala Romero reports, that may be changing.
In 2018, a teenager from the Bay Area became lead plaintiff in a lawsuit that blocked the Trump administration from potentially deporting her mom and hundreds of thousands of immigrants nationwide. And until recently, the U.S. Department of Justice kept arguing in court for the government to end temporary protected status, or TPS, for most holders. But now, lawyers for the DOJ and plaintiffs have asked the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in Pasadena to put a hold on the case and allow them to try to reach a settlement.
I think what it signals is that the Biden administration may no longer be interested in defending the Trump-era TPS terminations.
Lead counsel Ahilan Arulanantham co-directs the Center for Immigration Law and Policy at UCLA.
Which, if true, would be very, very good news for about 400,000 people.
A spokesman for the DOJ declined to comment. For the California Report, I'm Farida Javala Romero.
California lawmakers, their staffs, and the general public will still be required to wear face coverings in certain parts of the state capitol in Sacramento, regardless of whether they're vaccinated. The Sacramento Bee reports that everyone will be required to wear masks in common areas. Those who remain unvaccinated cannot remove their masks unless they're alone in a room or while eating and spaced apart from others. They'll have to take weekly COVID tests and provide a negative result to enter the Capitol building.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
In 2019, on Governor Gavin Newsom's first full day in office, he declared war on wildfires.
I hear you. I get it. We need to do more and do better. These last 2 years have been devastating.
With that announcement, Newsom signed a sweeping executive order that he said would overhaul the state's approach to wildfire prevention. But did it? Reporter Scott Rodd from our partner station Cap Radio in Sacramento joins us now with an update on that. Good morning to you, Scott.
Good morning, Lily.
And Scott, you've been investigating, and what you've been learning is disturbing. You found that after an initial spike, the state is actually doing less wildfire prevention work under Governor Newsom than under his predecessor. Talk about what you found.
That's right. Our investigation found that in 2020, the worst fire season in California history, wildfire prevention work dropped by half of what was done the previous year. And at the same time, Newsom had cut funding for wildfire prevention in the budget by over $100 million. And it's worth noting that was before COVID-19 hit. This year, through Memorial Day, we also found that the state remains below its goal for fire prevention work. Newsom didn't talk to us for the story, but we did talk to CAL FIRE Chief Tom Porter. Here's what he had to say.
It's not something that I'm comfortable with. It is something that I am working to reconcile and to correct for the future. But we had an exceptional fire year. Everybody knows that. The environment to do this kind of work has been very challenging and has hampered our ability to get the acres that we do have planned for, but we haven't been able to put the attention to.
And you know, fire experts I spoke to said that there's some credence to that. It was an extraordinary fire season. COVID-19 complicated things, but it also shows just how fragile the prevention infrastructure in California is and the need to strengthen it. Because at the end of the day, fire doesn't take a break because of a pandemic or because the state's experiencing a different emergency.
Yeah, and it sounds like what Chief Porter is saying there is that they did less wildfire prevention work because they had so many wildfires last year, and that those fires blocked CAL FIRE from doing that wildfire prevention work. That is a concerning precedent. You know, over the last year or two, we've heard Governor Newsom again and again boast about these wildfire prevention projects that CAL FIRE had supposedly completed across the state. What has happened with those?
When Newsom first entered office, he asked CAL FIRE to give him recommendations on how the state could get its arms around the wildfire problem. CAL FIRE came back and they recommended dozens of fire prevention projects that would help protect some of the most vulnerable communities in California. Those projects at first represented about 90,000 acres that were going to be treated. Through our data review and records polling, we found that they had only completed about 12,000 of those acres. But nevertheless, Newsom claimed that the state had treated the full 90,000 acres. And that's important because it signals to those communities that they're being kept safe by this prevention work, again, in areas that are very susceptible to wildfires.
Well, it's remarkable to hear that difference, 12,000 acres completed versus 90,000 acres touted. It's hard to process how the governor could be, you know, touting those numbers when they're so far from reality. You've been talking to fire survivors about this. What's been their reaction?
One person in particular, Mitch McKenzie, who has experienced quite a bit with wildfires in recent years. He lost his home to the Tubbs Fire in 2017 and had about a third of his inventory at his wine business essentially ruined by fire and smoke last year. He told me that he felt like he was being deceived by what Newsom had told the public.
When a politician can make a statement that he's treated 100% of a certain area that he lays out, and then the truth comes out that he's only treated 10% of it. I think that with the kind of fires and the fire danger that we're in this area, that's quite shocking.
Mitch McKenzie there, a 2017 wildfire victim, weighing in as we come off the worst fire season on record and as we brace for the year ahead. Cap Radio, Scott Rodd, thank you so much for this reporting.
Thank you.
And Scott's story is online now at capradio.org. I've also posted it on Twitter. I am at Lily Jamali. And that is the California Report for this Wednesday, June 23rd. We are a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Lily Jamali. Thank you for listening.
Support for the California Report comes from SF MoMA, presenting the exclusive U.S. exhibition of Nam June Paik, a visionary global artist who bridged art, music, performance, and technology. Learn more at sfmoma.org. Eric and Wendy Schmidt, through the Schmidt Family Foundation, working together to create a just world where all people have access to renewable energy, clean air and water, and healthy food, on the web at theschmidt.org. And Blue Shield of California, rebuilding the future of healthcare with every Californian in mind, from quality and equitable care to not-for-profit values. Learn more at news.blueshieldca.com.
Do you love your local bookstore? Well, I have the perfect event for you. This Saturday, April 27th, is Independent Bookstore Day. It's a day to celebrate your favorite local bookstore. I'm Olivia Allen Price, host of the Bay Curious podcast here at KQED, and I'm popping in to let you know that we will be hosting an event at Green Apple Books in San Francisco for the occasion. Come out for an author Q&A about the Bay Curious book. We'll be playing some Bay Area-themed trivia. There will be prizes and so much more. And the best part, tickets are donation-based, and all proceeds go to the Prisoners Literature Project. Learn more at kqed.org/live. I hope to see you there.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.